And for everyone who's yet to see this...
That's... Fuck, man.
Just if I can have to be sustained without the help of a bunch of stuff going on.
Let's pick this up where we left off. Curious to see how it finishes.
Them, are you, them, are you, the truth, you love, love, bend, bend, back, back, bend, flow, that's your hoe. Oh, on the couch, yeah. In the mouth, yeah. I'll be out, really dope. See, loud rich niggas got low money, and loud broke niggas got no money. The irony behind it is so funny, and I seen it all this past year. Pass on some advice we fail. You ain't gotta lie to get your money. You ain't gotta lie.
The judge make time, right? judge me, Tom, so it ain't shit. It's shit for us to come out here and appreciate the little bit of life we got left, dog. On the dead homies, Charlie P, you know that, bro. You know that. It's Mando. Right, it's Mando. And I say this because I love niggas, man. I love all my niggas, bro. Enough said that we gonna get back to the show and move on, cause that shit petty, my nigga. Mic check. We're gonna do some acapella shit before we get back to up. All my niggas, listen to this. I promised Dave I never used the phrase fuck nigga. He said, think about what you saying. Fuck niggas. No better than Samuel on the Django. No better than a white man with slave boats. Sound like I needed some soul searching. My pops gave me some game in real person. Retraced my steps on what they never taught me. Did my homework fast before government caught me. So I'ma dedicate this one verse to Oprah on how the infamous sensitive N-word control us. So many artists gave her an explanation to hold us. Well, this is my explanation, straight from Ethiopia. N-E-G-U-S. Definition, royalty. King royalty. Wait, listen. N-E-G-U-S. Description, black emperor, king ruler. Now let me finish. The history books overlooked the word and hide it. America tried to make it to a house divided. The homies don't recognize we've been using it wrong. So I'ma break it down and put my game in a song. N-E-G-U-S, say it with me. Or say no more, black stars can come and get me. Take it from Oprah Winfrey, tell her she right on time. Kendrick Lamar, by far, realest sneakers alive.
Want me dead, plant cocaine in my car. Would you judge me a drug head or see me as Kay Lamar? Or question my character, had to grade me on every block. Want you to love me like Nelson, want you to hug me like Nelson. I freed you from being a slave in your mind, you're very welcome. You tell me my song is more than a song, it's surely a blessing. But a prophet ain't a prophet till they ask you this question. When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? Won't you look to your left and right, make sure you ask your friends. When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? The ghost of Mandela, hope my flow stay propelling. Let my word be your earth and moon, you consume every message. As I lead this army, make room for mistakes and depression. And with that, do you believe in me? How much you believe in her? You think she gon' stick around if them 25 years occur? You think he gon' hold you down when you down beyond bars hurt? You think y'all on common ground if you promise to be the first? Can you be immortalized without your life being expired? Even though y'all share the same blood, is it worth the time? Like, who got your best interest? Like, how much are you dependent? How clutch are the people that say they love you and who pretended? How tough is your skin when they turn you in? Do you show forgiveness? What brush do you bend? What dust in your shoulders from being offended? What kind of den did they put you in when the lions start hissing? And what kind of bridge do they burn revenge on your mind when it's mentioned? You wanna love like Nelson, you wanna be like Nelson. You wanna walk in his shoes, but your peacemaking seldom. You wanna be remembered and deliver the message that considered the blessing of everyone. This your lesson for everyone. Say, when shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? Won't you look to your left and right, make sure you ask your friends. When shit hit the fan, is
Mandela. Hope this flow stay propelling. Let my word be your earth and moon. You consume every message. As I lead this army, make room for mistakes and depression. And if you riding with me, nigga, I've been wrote off before. I got abandonment issues. I hold grudges like bad judges. Don't let me resent you. That's not Nelson like. Want you to love me like Nelson. I went to Robben Island, analyzing. That's where his cell is. So I can find clarity. Like how much you cherish me. Is this relationship a fake or real as the heavens be? See, I gotta question it all. Family, friends, fans, cats, dogs, trees, plants, grass. How the wind blow. Murphy's Law, Generation X. Will I ever be an ex? Frost over baby step. Marred by the mouth a bit. Pause, put me under stress. Crawl under rocks, ducking y'all. It's respect, but then tomorrow, put my back against the wall. How many leaders you said you needed, then left them for dead? Is it Moses? Is it Huey Newton or Detroit Red? Is it Martin Luther, JFK shooter? You assassin? Is it Jackie? Is it Jesse? Oh, I know it's Michael Jackson. Oh, when shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? That nigga gave us Billy Jean. You say he touched those kids? When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? The ghost of Mandela. All my flows, they were repelling. Let my word be your earth and moon. You consume every message. As I lead this army, make room for mistakes and depression. And if you ride with me, nigga, let me ask this question, nigga. I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct. The evils of Lucy was all around me. So I went running for answers until I came home. But that didn't stop survivor's guilt. Going back and forth trying to convince myself the stripes I earned. Or maybe how A1 my foundation was. But while my loved ones was fighting a continuous war back in the city, I was entering a new one. A war that was based on apartheid and discrimination. Made me want to go back to the city and tell the homies what I learned. The word was respect. Just because you wore a different game color than mine's doesn't mean I can't respect you as a black man. Forgetting all the pain and hurt we caused each other in these streets. If I respect you, we unify and stop the enemy from killing us. But I don't know. I'm no mortal man. Maybe I'm just another nigga. Shit, that's all I wrote. I was gonna call it another nigga, but it ain't really a poem. I just felt like it's something you probably could relate to. Other than that, now that I finally got a chance to holler at you, I always wanted to ask you about a certain situation, about a metaphor, actually. You spoke on the ground. What you mean by that? What I represent?
The ground is gonna open up and swallow the evil.
Right.
That's how I see it. My word is born. I see, and the ground is a symbol for the poor people.
Right.
The poor people is gonna open up this whole world and swallow up the rich people. Because the rich people are gonna be so fat, and they're gonna be so appetizing. You know what I'm saying? Wealthy, appetizing. The poor gonna be so poor, hungry.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be like, you know what I'm saying? It might be some cannibalism out this motherfucker. They might eat the rich.
All right, so let me ask you this then. Do you see yourself as somebody that's rich or somebody that made the best of their own opportunities?
I see myself as a natural born hustler, a true hustler in every sense of the word. I took nothing, I took the opportunities. I worked at the most menial and degrading job and built myself up so I could get it to where I owned it. I went from having somebody manage me to me hiring the person that works my management company. I changed everything. I realized my destiny in a matter of 5 years, you know what I'm saying? I made myself a millionaire. I made millions for a lot of people. Now it's time to make millions for myself. You know what I'm saying? I made millions for the record companies. I made millions for these movie companies. Now I make millions for us.
And through your different avenues of success, how would you say you managed to keep a level of sanity?
By my faith in God, by my faith in the game, and by my faith in all good things come to those that stay true.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it was happening to me for a reason. You know what I'm saying? I was noticing shit. I was punching the right buttons and it was happening. So it's no problem. You know, I mean, it's a problem, but I'm not finna let them know. I'm finna go straight through.
Would you consider yourself a fighter at heart, or somebody that only reacts when they back is against the wall?
Shit, I like to think that at every opportunity I've ever been threatened with resistance, it's been met with resistance. And not only me, but it goes down my family tree. You know what I'm saying? It's in my veins to fight back.
All right, well, how long you think it take before niggas be like, we fighting a war, I'm fighting a war, I can't win, and I want to lay it all down?
In this country, a black man only have like 5 years we can exhibit maximum strength. And that's right now, while you a teenager, while you still strong, while you still want to lift weights, while you still want to shoot back. Because once you turn 30, it's like they take the heart and soul out of a man, out of a black man in this country. And you don't want to fight no more. And if you don't believe me, you can look around. You don't see no loudmouth 30-year-old motherfuckers.
That's crazy. Because me being one of your offsprings of the legacy you left behind, I can truly tell you that it's nothing but turmoil you're going on. So I wanted to ask you, what you think is the future for me and my generation today?
I think that niggas is tired of grabbing shit out the stores, and next time it's a riot, it's gonna be like bloodshed, for real. I don't think America know that. I think America think it was just playing. It's gonna be some more playing, but it ain't gonna be no playing. It's gonna be murder. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be like Nat Turner, 1831, up in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna happen.
That's crazy, man. In my opinion, only hope that we kind of have left is music and vibrations. A lot of people don't understand how important it is. Sometimes I can, like, get behind a mic and I don't know what type of energy I'm going to push out or where it comes from. Trip me out sometimes.
Because it's spirits. We ain't even really rapping. We're just letting our dead homies tell stories for us.
I wanted to read one last thing to you. It's actually something a good friend had wrote describing my world. It says, the caterpillar is a prisoner to the streets that conceived it. Its only job is to eat or consume everything around it in order to protect itself from this mad city. While consuming this environment, the caterpillar begins to notice ways to survive. One thing it notices is how much the world shuns him but praises the butterfly. The butterfly represents the talent, the thoughtfulness, and the beauty within the caterpillar. But having a harsh outlook on life, the caterpillar sees the butterfly as weak and figures out a way to pimp it to its own benefits. Already surrounded by this mad city, the caterpillar goes to work on the cocoon, which institutionalizes him. He can no longer see past his own thoughts. He's trapped. While trapped inside these walls, certain ideas take root, such as going home and bringing back new concepts to this mad city. The result? Wings begin to emerge, breaking the cycle of feeling stagnant. Finally free, the butterfly sheds light on situations that the caterpillar never considered, ending the internal struggle. Although the butterfly and caterpillar are completely different, they are one and the same. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, it's really good. Really thinks about the album format anymore, you know. It's the thing that iTunes did, it's the thing that ringtones did, you know, it's the everyone still puts out albums, but it doesn't feel like there are that many artists out there that consider the package, cohesiveness thereof, you know. Try to put something together that fits. I think it's hard, you know. It's it's hard to serve both ends of it. It's really hard to put together like a cohesive album that still has singles that can be plucked out. Without stuff sounding like it was forced in there, you know. I feel like the last album did a good job. Well, it did an all right job of serving both. But, you know, like they did that bonus version of the album that had it was like the recipes, you know, like the kind of the non-album singles that came out before it. You know, like it added to it, but those exist outside of the form. They exist outside of the story of that album. And it makes for messy listening when, you know, if you think about people even if you're buying an album, you know, or if you're buying a couple of tracks, like, you know, like the edits that appear have the extra stuff at the end of them, you know, that help connect it to the next track, and, you know, like, that stuff gets messy if you're trying to just listen to one song at a time, one-off things here and there, and so I think, you know, a lot of music kind of fell away from trying to do that, you know, not that a ton of it ever, you know, but you had your concept albums, your fucking stuff in the 70s, you know, 80s, and all that, but, like, there was never anything that happened doesn't happen to this extent all that often in popular music. I'm sure there are forms, you know, it's like, I bet there are a lot of, like, metal bands or something that are probably making a lot of really fucking crazy concept albums and shit, because why wouldn't they? But, like, the, you know, you know, trying to serve the way popular music is served while still presenting something that's like a cohesive thought. You don't see it all that often, you know? And that's the impressive part about both of these albums, is they both pull that off. In a way that hip-hop especially doesn't always do. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you had, you know, Prince Paul has done some stuff, Master Ace, that last Ghostface, not that last, there's that Ghostface, it was 36 seasons, whatever it is, 9 season. Know, trying to tell a story. And the tracking on this album makes it something that would be difficult to listen to one track out of the middle or something like that, because of the way the connective tissue is attached to the existing track and not broken out into, you know, interludes or whatever. If you think about it, you know, it's like rap skits or something. I mean, obviously, you know, this stuff is a little more involved than just like your average rap skit, but like, Two Live Crew was putting out albums that had 20 tracks on, like Band in the USA, that Luke solo album, had like 20 tracks on it, but like close to half of them were skits, because they were just the little bits that were connecting little pieces together. Not even connecting it that well, but, you know, just to give it some kind of flow. You know, but they tracked it in such a way that that stuff was all separate, so, you know, if you wanted to just listen to this track on the CD, it was a start and a finish, you know. And by virtue of not doing that, you know, I think it's harder, because this stuff is woven together. You know, this album is woven together in a way that it's very hard to separate. I mean, you could just break stuff off at, you know, natural points. And, you know, the CD format, well, not that we're even really dealing with CDs that much anymore, but the CD format lets you have, like, no, was it pre-gap or whatever, between tracks, so you can just flow from one to the next, you know, seamlessly. And obviously, you know, MP3s are fine, you know, gapless playback, all that sort of stuff, it is what it is, you know, it works. But it's the sort of thing you want to listen to start to finish, you know, and it's not necessarily like every track's a banger, you know. You're not like, oh, every single song on this is just so hard, so this, so that. Like, it's the ride. It's the it's that path that has value in a situation like this. Kwame's second album was a concept album, you know, and I was just like, it was a day in the life, a Pokadelic adventure. It was just like, you know, whatever. It was like, hey, this is a school dance. We're going to get a school dance connected together by answering machine messages and stuff like that. Kind of average skit type stuff, but yeah, I tried to tell a story. It was interesting at the time. I mean, it was a long time ago. I don't know that I had really heard much else at the time that was trying to do that. And then, was it like De La Soul Is Dead has some stuff that tries to, you know, like some skits that at least are telling a story along the way, but it's not like the tracks are individually there. I'll say it's the last album that, you know, the Plug One and Plug Two from De La Soul rapped on was not a De La Soul album. It was called First Serve. And it's not, you know, it's not based, you know, on the tracks. It's like, you know, some French guys or something, I think. I don't know what the deal was, but, you know, that's like a concept album start to finish as well. But, like, they're, you know, they're playing characters. Like, they're trying to, like, they have credits at the end of that as who played who and all this other stuff. Like, it's inventive. You know, it's cool. Like, that First Serve album is really good. But, again, it's hard to pluck out individual tracks on it. But I like that a lot. That was a good record. The thing about Kendrick Lamar is that there's complexity there, you know? Like, you know, there's there's an aspect of it where you think, like, oh, well, he's not really saying anything. Well, you know, he's not necessarily coming from a position of having figured all this shit out. You're kind of listening to him in progress. You know, suspect it's a reflection of his existence at this point in time, you know. If you believe it all. And I think that's what's so fascinating about him is, you know, like, he's highly capable and he's using that in extraordinarily interesting ways. He's highly capable and he has everyone's attention, and what he's doing with that attention is fascinating. I mean, you think about, you know, like, it'd be real easy for him to just fit into just another mold, you know, just like, if you think about, you know, the what's backing him and, you know, it's like, hey, this guy is from Compton, he is signed to Aftermath, or, you know, like, Dr. Dre is executive producing this album. It'd be very easy to be like, hey, here's, you know, there's these new gangsterous tales of life in Compton. And, you know, whatever, there are people doing that, and I think they're doing it really well, you know, it was like, like, YG is doing that, you know, whatever, it's like modern gangsterism. And that's the aspect to the that makes it interesting for me is the Compton roots. And you think about what you think of, you know, what traditionally that has meant in hip hop. You know, not to say it's 100%, you know, like there's you think about those artists a certain way. You think about that gangbang mentality and how it translates into the music, you know, and how it has translated into the music over the years. You know, from like DJ Quick, you know, who's never really that deep into it, to MC8. You know, obviously, you know, NWA and all that sort of stuff as well, but you know, Kendrick Lamar is not the Game. You know, when you think about the Game and you think about his career trajectory, like the choices that were made for the Game and the Game's career, whether he made those decisions or other people made those decisions, like the Game is like he leaned too much on that legacy that Compton already had. And it became like a nostalgia act. You know, if you think about the Game, you know, like my favorite stuff that he has done is when he's rapping about other rappers from Compton. You know, or when he's rapping about other rap music he likes. And he does that a lot. And it's like, it's kind of, you know, I think he did it so much that you're just like, all right, this has gone a little too far. Like maybe this is a little corny at this point. And I think like Game, you know, like Game started so strong. So strong. And then just every album after the first couple, you're like, I don't know that he has it anymore. Or if maybe he never did it. You know, when he was putting out mixtapes and stuff, when Game was putting out mixtapes, like, there was, he sounded vital at that time. You know, that was a time when, like, you didn't hear about, no one was fucking talking about Compton. No one was fucking, like, that shit was so fucking done. And, like, here he, you know, like, when the Game first started coming out there, like, he was, like, very lyrical in a way. Like, you know, he was freestyling like crazy, you know? It was like all the mixtape stuff, you know, 300 bars and running, 100 bars and running, you know, like, all that stuff was, you know, he was rapping in a way that, like, you just didn't, you know, you didn't think about West Coast rap, like, mainstream kind of gangster shit that way. And the Game was important for that reason. I think, you know, he had that look of like a new generation that, you know, that was co-signed by the one to come, the generation to come before his. And it was a really important moment, I think, to kind of get the, like, for the West Coast. But I just feel like, you know, like Game's career, like, you know, he got caught up with the G-Unit stuff, and that stuff was just, it wasn't good for anybody. You know, Game's material didn't improve just because he was, like, you know, in G-Unit or out of, you know, like after the fact, you know. But at the time, that, you know, that felt like the first kind of, like, nationwide, like, breaking, like, important artist that was coming out of that area in kind of a while. And, you know, like, he was following the blueprint, you know, he was following, like, that West Coast shit, you know, like, he was doing that in a different way, but still, like, very reverent of the old shit, like, very, you know, directly referential to those people and that time. You know, it's like the second album reads like a, you know, it's like a love letter to Dr. Dre. It's fucking almost creepy. It's like a fucking stalker or something. It's really, it's wild. And Kendrick Lamar doesn't, he doesn't fall into that trap. And he has things to say that, as said, you know, like as covered topics that you would expect from the West, you know, like there's that element to it, but it just seems like he is thinking more about it, or expressing his thoughts and his feelings on it a little bit more. It's not fucking gangbang machismo, fucking look at how hard I am, like all that shit. You know, that's not the thing. Instead, it's that vulnerability of, like, I've got to tell all these people that I'm the hardest person in the world because we are about to go fucking kill some people. It's like, it's that, it's the humanity behind that in some cases. And this album seems like it's expanding, you know. I think it, you know, he sums it up himself, you know, that at the end, you know, it is about, you know, he got out of the city, he saw the world, and that thoughtfulness, you know, that kind of work in progress thoughtfulness was then focused on larger issues. And that's important. That's it's fascinating. And it's meaningful. It's like a meaningful evolution, you know? It would have been very easy for him, or, you know, like people in his position to just, well, I'm going to keep writing a lot of songs about Compton and, you know, like, yeah, I'm from the West Coast. We're going to do that. You know, I'm going to stay in this lane, like do this. And that's what makes it interesting. Like, is it perfect? Like, no, it's a mess. It's that album's all over the place. Like in a, like a jubilant sort of way. Though, in a passionate way, and you can't say that about a lot of music, especially in hip hop. You definitely can't say it about most hip hop. I mean, half the rappers coming out sound like corporations rhyming at you, you know. It just so happens that Kendrick Lamar is backed by one of the largest when it comes to music, when it comes to hip-hop, and it's like classically speaking. And that's still Interscope. Right? I think there'll be some people that come away from this album going like, man, sophomore slump, huh?
Yeah. Ugh.
But, and I think that's probably fine. This album seems like it's kind of designed to shake some people loose, if necessary. Or see who's willing to come along. Things that reviews well and sells all right, but if there's just a bit of a backlash to it from people that are just like, I don't know, man, I liked that swimming pool song. I mean, or even some people when I came out that were just like, this is too spaced out, too far gone. You know, I love that. If you can pull it off, like, pull it off, man. To keep people guessing. I remember there being a big backlash against the second MGMT record because it had such a different sound, and there were like interviews from them just saying like, yeah, you know, we got sick of the way that those songs, we got tired of those fucking songs or whatever, and you know, tired of the people that liked those songs, so fuck it. Probably misquoting that a little bit, but that was the impression I got from what little I read about it. I didn't like that album at all, but I'm, you know, I'm not a big MGMT fan either, so. Before, like, a, you know, like a second, like, major label album, you know, not his second body of work, really. But for like two albums made with the spotlight all the way on you. Now more than ever. Now more than fucking ever. That shit is impressive. And I like that album a lot. I got off the wrong exit. I'm stuck at this fucked up intersection. Here we go. $3.50 for a gallon of gas again. Ambulance coming through. I was going to turn off onto a side street. That was a fire truck. And an ambulance. Hopefully they're not heading to my house. Kids out in the streets, run over. It's dark out here. All right, everybody. Have a good night. Enjoy your wrestling. Sounds like you're, looks like you're watching wrestling. Maybe I should watch wrestling. I don't know. Have a good night.